Turn to the Word of God together, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We read the verses 1 to 10. Come, let us hear God's holy, infallible Word. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7, and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds shall be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, but he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow old in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God, who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many days and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word, and we pray that he will bless it to us here in this place this evening. Dear young people, I direct your attention to the last two verses that I read just a few moments ago, the verses 9 and 10. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thine heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. These are very profound words. In the one sense, the writer here, obviously Solomon, but given inspiration by the Holy Spirit of God, says that this young man in the verse 9 is somebody that rejoices in his youth. He seems to have much cheer in his life. It's a life lived for self, a pleasure-seeking person. And yet, at the same time, look at the verse 10, this person, underlying all of this false pleasure, there is sorrow in his or her heart. Remove sorrow from thine heart, because deep in the conscience of every human being is a knowledge that there is a judgment day. We have a conscience, and all the things that you and I have done wrong in our past ring loud and clear in our conscience every day. This is so often why we try to justify ourselves. This is so often why people give to charity, because they're trying to outweigh their bad deeds with good deeds. But the exhortation here, look at the verse 10, is to turn away from a life of folly, to turn away from a life of foolishness, and to serve God. Therefore remove sorrow from thine heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity, because ultimately God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thine heart. As I've even heard a teenager say, youth seems to be vanity. Childhood is vanity. It's empty. It's meaningless. If we just live for ourselves, and at the end of it all, we're going to be judged for just living to ourselves and not living for God, it's meaningless and purposeless. It's vanity. It's empty. and it's a great evil. And so I would like to title the message tonight, The Danger of a Life of Mere Pleasure for Self, No Glorifying God, and No Pleasure in God. So the text there, Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, that's the way you want to go, and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. I think that there is no greater irony. You all know what an irony is. Something here that just stands out. He says, as it were, live how you want, do what you want, live how you like, but know this, at the end of such a life, you will have to give an account for it. And what I want us to do is I want us to consider verses 1 to 8 and then come to verses 9 and 10 at the end. And what you will see is verses 1 to 8 are a contrast, a complete contrast. Here is a life, verses 1 to 8, of somebody that didn't live this way. Somebody that lives for God. Somebody that loves God and loves fellow men. You see, hand in hand with loving God is loving fellow men. That's why we are made. We're made to glorify God. But you see, this kind of life, look at the verse 9, is a very selfish, self-important life, isn't it? It's a life lived for self. Getting all that I can out of life. Pleasing myself. Doing what I want. With no thought for anybody else, and especially no thought toward God. God who gave me life. God who has given me all things freely to enjoy. Not simply just to enjoy them upon myself, but that I might glorify Him in my life. So no greater irony than if you just live how you want, but God will bring every work into judgment. He'll bring this. Now, you notice there, firstly, as we look at the verse 9, just very briefly, and then we're going to look at the 8 verses, you'll notice this young person in the first part of this verse, he assumes the character, look, of a pleasure-seeking person who has a thoughtless life. And God says to him, however, you must understand this, know that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. The man is living such a way. His heart is cheering him all the days of his life. He just does what his heart feels. He walks in the ways of his heart, not in the ways of God. He says, this is how I feel I want to live. Let me live it. I've seen a sign coming up the main road here, live and let live. Somebody's house, somebody who I used to know, is there upon their house, and they no longer here. Died just a few years ago. Live and let live. But my friends, dear friends, if we live how we want, if you say in your life, I'll abandon all serious thoughts of God and eternity and religion then, but the preacher here, Solomon, Qualeth, the preacher says with all solemnity, young person, while you may think you can enjoy your life and live it up, he points you to the very fact that there is a day of judgment, a day when we will have to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament says, and it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So now is the time to come to Christ, to believe upon him before it's too late. At any rate, let's come to the verses 1 to 8. Which, as I say, are in stark contrast to the man of verse 9. So let's begin with the verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Here is the advice of the Word of God. And there are many that live like this. They cast their bread upon the waters, and after many days they find it. You say, well, what does this mean? Well, this was farming language that people understood in those days. Now, of course, none of us here are farmers, and we don't understand this, but I believe I can explain it to you quite simply. Where it says here bread, they understood that bread came from seed. And so when you sowed the seed, the wheat grew, and bread came. But ordinarily you wouldn't throw seed upon waters, on those rainy, floody plains, would you? You wouldn't throw seed upon waters. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about those rainy days, those times when it doesn't seem to be the time to give your energy and your precious resources. Grain, seed, was a very precious commodity and resource. And of course, ordinarily, unless you were really desperate, unless you knew that there were sunny days going to come and the fields weren't flooded out, you wouldn't throw your seed upon those flooded plains. But here God is saying, in essence, you don't know how many days there are going to be. You don't know how many opportunities of living for God and giving your time and your energy for God, spending your precious resources, young people, on God. You don't know how many days you have. So right now, while you have opportunity, sow your precious resources, your time, your energy, live for God, because days are few. So very contrary to the man in the verse 9. The young man, he is in verse 9, he is just living how he wants, very frivolously, squandering his time, squandering his resources, living for himself. But here, we're exhorted to, as it were, throw our all in for God, to cast our seed, our precious time, whatever resource it might be. For people in those days, seed, as I said, was a precious resource. And God is saying, whether it's a rainy day, whether it seems to be a time that is not opportune for you, and especially when things are not opportune for you, you say, well, I've got many years to enjoy. Well, who knows that? God says, sow your precious seed. It may not seem like the right time for you now, but young person, you don't know whether you're guaranteed another day, let alone another year. So sow for God. Don't say it doesn't seem right now for me to sow. Who knows? Another thing is, so often if we say it's not the opportune time to come to God and to serve God, but you know, when will it ever be for you? When will it ever be? You'll keep putting it off. Just like those three men that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about in the Gospel of Luke. They kept saying, not now, let me go and do this first, let me go and do that first. But here is the liberal soul, here is the person who loves God and wants to spend his life and his energies for God and devotes himself to God. He's turned away from sin and from self. Proverbs 11:25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also to himself. You know, God's people are people that love God, of course. And they love to be like God. They love to be kind. And they love to do what the Lord has said. The Lord has said in his word, one of my commandments is to love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, the Christian is very different from the ordinary person of this world. God says in Leviticus 19 and the verse 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Now, I wonder, firstly, do we love God? Because that's the first and the chief commandment, to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. And the proof of that is we love to be like him. We love to obey him. And one of the commandments is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And this is why Christians have done the most. Do you realize that Christians have done the most in this world than any other group of people? And the only explanation for that is God. They have always cast their bread on the water. Rainy days, sunny days, whenever. They have spent for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then look, he says in the verse 2, give a portion to seven. Seven people. And also to eight. The Christian's not a stingy person, is he? For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Look, you might be hoarding up great riches, like the rich young ruler. He had no treasures laid up in heaven. And what are you going to do with your wealth? You don't know. Look, we do not know what evil shall be on the earth. You may not be able to enjoy your wealth and your riches. So take care of people. Why? Because God is that way. He causes his sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. You be like your heavenly Father. If you're a child of God, don't be this stingy person. Here is a life worth living, young people. This is the life that God rewards. A life lived for him. And you don't know? Have a look. Verse 3. You can't change the future. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. You can't change the future. You don't know what's going to happen. The wind's going to blow this way. It's going to blow that way. You can't determine the future. Don't try to determine with what resources you've got what you're going to do with them. But while you have opportunity to invest what you have, your time, young people, your energy, spend it wisely. Don't look for excuses not to serve God. So often people do this. So that there's not an opportune time. Young people, God orders and directs all things. This is why we should never say we'll go to this place and that place and do this and buy and sell and get gain. James says all such talk is evil. We shouldn't speak like that. Rather, we should say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. Such a contrast, isn't it, to the man in the verse 9. He walks in the ways of his heart, in the sight of his eyes. Look at it. But God says, but know that for these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Again, remember that rich young ruler. The Lord Jesus Christ, there was a man coming up to him. He ran up to him, this rich young ruler. And he said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, of course, you can't inherit it. You can't merit it. You can't win it. It is a gift. But what comes with the new life, with the new birth, is a new heart. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to that rich young ruler, he said to him, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, the scripture says he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now I wonder, what about you, young people, tonight? Is your life your idol? Maybe that's your possession. Maybe you certainly haven't got your eyes on money, but you've got your eyes on your life. What I'm going to become? Who am I going to be? I'm going to be the big shot or whatever. But you see, those things are nothing because they can be taken away at any moment. At any moment. So the first thing we see there, that the person who is wise, the person who is God's child, is never a person who has a selfish heart. No, he's got a very liberal heart. And I mean that word in the best sense. A generous heart. And he's concerned about other people. He's especially concerned about glorifying God and honoring God. But something else, look at the verse 4. Following God means that you trust God and that you do good for him while you can. You live in hope. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. Imagine the farmer. He's going out every day and he's looking at the wind. And he thinks, well, the wind of opportunity is not right for me to do this or to do that. And so he doesn't do it. He's always looking at the clouds. And he's wondering, should I sow? Should I do this? Should I do that? Now turn this into the spiritual realm, young people. You're saying it's not an opportune time for me now to serve God, for me to live for God. Because, well, the weather of trends are not right. It's just not trendy for me to serve God. It wouldn't be fashionable with my friends. Well, you keep making excuses, you'll never reap anything for God. You'll never sow a life worthy. And let me say this, I can turn this around in a literal sense, where it says here, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. I'm not a farmer, but I am a preacher of God's word. And there are many times that I said to myself, it's raining, I'm not going to go out and do open air preaching today. And then the rain dies and then it starts again, but I've gone. And I've gone out into the town, and God has given me a window of opportunity to preach to some soul. But you see, I could have had 1,000 excuses not to go, let alone the weather. Wasn't feeling well, or something like that. And it's always the way. If we make excuses in life, we'll never sow. We keep putting things off, we'll never do for God. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Terrible thing to miss the opportunity. You just don't know. You see, what God is looking at is your heart. Do you want these things? Do you want to live for God? Or are you looking for excuses not to serve Him? Because ultimately, that's what it is. It comes down to the will of a person. The Lord Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come and take freely. And if you want something, young person, so desperately, if you want eternal life and you want heaven and you want sins forgiven, you will come now. And you'll stop making excuses in your life. Something else. You don't know how God may work. You may have all the excuses. Look at verse 5. But he works in extraordinary ways. Especially when you see the clouds are out and it looks dark and gloomy. And it doesn't look like a prosperous time to do the right thing. Or to sow. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do they grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. It's like a little baby. Our daughter has just given birth to a little baby boy. And it's amazing. You see this little baby come out, and he's got hands and feet and everything else. Does everything a baby does. The mother didn't have to think how to make the baby. It is God that makes the child. And in the same way, we don't know how God works. And so we mustn't never try to figure God out. Too many people are trying to figure God out before they even come to Him. Man, by his own understanding, Paul tells us, cannot figure out the ways of God. People have all kinds of excuses for not coming to God. Can you and I, with finite minds, understand the infinite God, young people? The universe is contained in God. The universe has certain dimensions. It's not as large as we think it is. God will destroy the universe. It's not infinite. It's all contained in God. It has to be contained in God. And He will make a new heavens and a new earth. The universe came into existence by Him, not through the Big Bang. The scientist is ridiculous. Nothing can't make everything. God made it. And so for you and I, what's the answer? Just do God's will. Don't question Him. Follow Him. Follow Him with all your heart. What if you say, well, I have my whole life ahead of me and I'll follow Him when I'm ready. Well, God might just turn that around and say, well, you don't have your whole life ahead of you. You've just got a few days. You've just got a few moments. So in the verse 6, look, in the morning sow thy seed, now while there's time. In the morning of your youth, young people, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. Be always ready to give. Be always ready to serve. For thou knowest not whether thou shalt prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike. You don't know. Just give your heart. God says, my son, give me thine heart. We are to give our hearts to God. Many young people think that they have a whole lifetime to do good and to follow God. Who knows? God who directs our every days, our everything, can take it away very quickly. The third thing. There are many pleasant things in life to do and to see. Have a look at the verse 7. Truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. So many things, like the sun is. Light is sweet. The many pleasant things to enjoy in the world. The sun is beautiful. Many sunsets to see. Many sunrises. Maybe you say there's many places to go. Life can be pleasant, especially when you're young and you've got your health and everything else. But you see, life is uncertain. Isn't it? How long? So you look at verse 8. But if a man live many years. But you see, if a man live many years. Not that you will. I've known a few people in my life, as a young man, some to die before they reached age 10. Some to die before they reached 20. Some to die before they reached 30. But if a man live many years, that's if he does. Even then, if you do, and look, and rejoice in them all, even if they're all good days and it's a wonderful life you've lived, yet let him remember the days of darkness. There are days of darkness. Because you get old, for one thing. And if you live a life without God, it gets worse. Not only does age and sickness carry you away, but if you're unforgiven, you go to hell. Because you're unforgiven. And look, for they shall be many. Well, actually, eternity is forever. Even if our years here as old people are many, that's nothing compared to a lost existence. No forgiveness. All that cometh is vanity. What was the profit of all this splendor, all of this beauty in this life, if there's an eternity of lostness? It doesn't seem right. But why do we go to a never-ending existence of lostness, if that's the case? Because we never live for God. Because verse 9, we'll be judged. There's the warning. This is why, young people, we need to prepare for judgment. Because after judgment, if we're not saved, there's an eternity without God. Remember the days of darkness. For they shall be many. Finally, look, see the danger of a life of pleasure without God. And this, in some ways, is, maybe you've heard your mother say this, well, go ahead and do that and see what happens to you. This is what God is saying. Go ahead and do what you want, see what happens to you. And this, young people, is a loving warning from God. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. You've got plenty of strength. You've got a strong mind. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of your heart, thy heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. That's your own wisdom. But how short-sighted we are. How short-sighted people are. But know that thou, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. You see, the world says, you are made to enjoy your life. That's why you are made. Eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's what the world says. And they say religion, Christianity, only makes you miserable. It brings you into bondage. It brings you like a prisoner. But they couldn't be further from the truth. They have no idea. They speak ill-advisedly. And they say to you, resist God. Live your life, live it up. While you can. so wrong. That's how it was for the rich man. And remember Lazarus, the poor beggar. The rich man fared sumptuously every day at his table. He never gave to Lazarus, never gave to the poor. Was never concerned about God, never loved fellow men. He loved himself. And finally he got his reward. He went to hell. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke that parable in Luke 16 about the rich man. And that's how everybody is, really. He's not specifically talking about just rich people, but he's talking about people that are rich toward themselves, poor toward God. They've always lived for themselves. They've always only ever thought about themselves. And you know what? That rich man went to hell. And he said to Abraham, please, could I have some water just to cool my tongue? And no, it was not granted to him. He cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. Lazarus, of course, now who's in heaven, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things or poor things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, that is heaven and hell, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. This man wanted others to go and warn his family. But you know what? The Lord said, even if we did go and warn them, nobody would ever repent. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You see, the problem is with the unbeliever is his heart. Your problem tonight is not a lack of empirical evidence for God. Your conscience tells you that there is a judgment day. We feel guilt. The problem with us is we're hardened to God. The hardest thing in the world, I say this often, is not a diamond, but it's a man's heart. Do you know that if you could see every soul in hell tonight, if every soul came and people from the dead could speak to you tonight, you would still reject the gospel. If you could see everybody in hell, you would still say, no, I want this life. And I want to live how I want to live. This is why, young person, you must be born again. You must be born again. And you need to prepare for that great day. You have guilt. For all these things, look, thou shalt be brought into judgment. And the only person that can take away that guilt is one who died on a cross. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that was ever good enough to pay for sin. And we have to put our confidence in him. The Lord Jesus Christ will be judged for our words. The Lord Jesus Christ said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men speak, they will give an account of in the day of judgment. You will be judged for your sinful pleasures in this world. When you come to view all of that in the light of God's judgment, it'll be different. You may not feel guilty now, but you'll feel guilty. Oh, you'll feel terribly guilty in the day of judgment. You might plead you're innocent now, but then you will have seen that you were involved in great sin in denying God, who is giving you every breath of air to live right now, and you don't want to glorify him. And you treat God with lightheartedness and the gospel with no thought, as if it were a joke, you will wake up to a frightful reality. in the lost eternity. Consider further, look at the text. The text asserts God will bring you into judgment. God will bring thee into judgment. If you live this way, why not live this blessed life? Not simply to avoid judgment, but because God is worthy to be served. God is worthy to be served. Sadly, we heard on the radio today a man by the name of Stephen Fry, who said when he gets to the gates of heaven, he said, "I'll say to God, bone cancer in children, what's that about? How dare you? How dare you create a world where there is such misery that is not our fault? It's not right. It's utterly evil. Why should I respect a capricious, mean-minded, stupid God who creates a world which is so full of injustice and pain?" That's what I'd say to God. But you know what? Stephen Fry won't even get to the gates of heaven and be able to say that. Because Stephen Fry's never read the Bible. Stephen Fry needs to take a look around. Who is the cause of all the problems in the world? It's evil man's heart, not God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. God can even forgive a foolish and ignorant man such as Stephen Fry, if he will but come and repent of his sins and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But if Mr. Fry and you think you're no different to Mr. Fry, if you carry on, you won't see the gates of heaven, but a sudden, fearful destruction. And you will regret that you never read the Bible, that you just spoke words about it, you spoke ignorantly, you misrepresented God, you blamed God for all of your sins and the problems in the world. Everything will be brought against you. So I close. Rejoice, O young man, in the day of thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee all the days of thy youth, and walk in the days of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But we close with this. But know thou, for that all these things God will bring thee into judgment. God will not be mocked. There is a day of judgment. Live for him now. Cast your bread upon the water. Give your life to God. He is worthy of it. Come to him, not simply because you want to escape judgment, but because God is worthy of our whole lives. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. God says, put away sorrow. Put away the sorrow of this awful prospect of a lost eternity. Put evil from thy heart. Serve God. For childhood and youth are vanity. They really are meaningless in the great scope and the light of eternity. Amen. Let us pray.